Well, the weather yesterday, we all know, was pretty frightening as the Eagles grounds crew keeps Lincoln Financial Field at least partially visible. Great work by that group and great work by the Philadelphia Eagles to turn away the Detroit Lions on a day with 8 inches of snow falling. An epic kind of afternoon for the Philadelphia Eagles, for the fans, and for everybody who witnessed a game that nobody could quite recall having matched. 8 inches of snow, very difficult to see, and what a football game it turned out to be. Hi, everyone. I'm Dave Spadaro. Welcome to Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We've got a lot to talk about on the day after the Eagles' 34-20 win over the Detroit Lions, a game that was, in itself, without the weather conditions, just amazing. LeSean McCoy, a franchise record, 217 rushing yards for the Eagles, 148 of those yards on 11 carries. Think about those numbers. 148 and 11 in the fourth quarter alone. The Eagles accumulating more than 370 yards of offense in the second half to come back from a 14-0 third quarter deficit. I mean, just everything went great for the Eagles in that second half. We take a look at some of the numbers from a game that nobody will forget. And a game that, by the way, very important as the Eagles march down the stretch of this 2013 regular season, hopefully toward a playoff berth. It was a great experience for the fans, and the Philadelphia Eagles say thank you, thank you, thank you to everyone who braved the elements at Lincoln Financial Field and hung in there throughout the day, loud and proud throughout the afternoon, and really came alive in the fourth quarter. Look at that snow early in the game. About 8 inches, I think, was the official total. And that all came from about noon, it seemed, maybe about 11:15 until, maybe 2 o'clock. And it was just nasty. And the fans didn't leave. The fans didn't get quiet. The fans were there for the Philadelphia Eagles the entire time. And we thank you for that. That is a home field advantage, ladies and gentlemen. And yeah, you made some noise. And you got rowdy, and the Eagles responded. Some of the reaction on Twitter from the fans, Sean, all fired up. Yeah, a memorable sporting event, and probably the most memorable sporting event that Sean will ever attend. Trevor Gibby says, fun fact, my Philly Eagles now have the longest active winning streak in the NFL. Who'd have thunk it when this team was 3-5? Rick says, awesome day at the link. Great day to be an Eagles fan, 8-5, no question about it. And Johnny, there is no sweeter sound than hearing Merrill Reese scrape touchdown. Hashtag fly Eagles fly all the way around. And the players and the analysts and former players, Brian Dawkins, staying in touch with his team. And just like that, it's party time defense, says B-Doc. Trey Wingo, the snow in Philly is truly epic. It was really amazing. Brian Westbrook, this game went from me saying 8 points will win it to an offensive explosion. I'm with you, B-West. I'm with you. I thought the first team that scored had a huge advantage. That did not turn out to be the case. And Kevin Negandhi, ESPN, who is a huge Eagles fan, loving what he saw yesterday from the Eagles defense. Now about the Eagles players. Connor Barwin, one of the most fun games I've ever played in. Snowball, no question. LeSean McCoy, man, great team win. Game ball goes to D and O-line. Now he knows where his bread is buttered. He knows that the guys up front doing the work for him. I hope my young son enjoyed the game. How could he not with Daddy going for 217? Patrick Chung, got it done today, Bird Gang. Thank you for keeping it rocking to the fans, that is. And we all know that the fans are what fuel that stadium. Great job yesterday. Great job throughout the season. And Vinny Curry, who played in some snow at Marshall, one time for the fans to cheer us on, came to cheer us on in that snow. That's beautiful. And that's the truth. To come out, it wasn't just a day in December. It wasn't just a cold day in December. It was a day of remarkable weather. So the players and the coaches reacting to the victory. And, everybody fired up for the Philadelphia Eagles after the game.
It was interesting. You know, it was really a couple times we thought we'd get some things going. And we tried to stay out of the gun as much as we could, you know. We had a drive there early in the second quarter, and then all of a sudden we got back into the gun and the ball goes through Nick's hands. And, you know, we had some momentum going forward, and then we go back and we're just trying to get our footing. I think, you know, it's our ability to kind of get in and out. And then when you came out in the second half, you were wondering what the weather's going to be like. It seemed like it calmed down a little bit. It wasn't as bad as it was in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough, to be honest. It was definitely tough. Just normal footing and traction that we get from just stopping and cutting. Some of them I couldn't really plant like I usually plant on the dime, but it worked out. The guys were giving me so much room. I was, even on some of the tough yards where they were stopping me, I was getting about 4 a pop, so it worked out.
Yeah, I mean, it's just something like you dream about being a kid, you know, being from California, it's sunny all the time, barely raining, but as a kid growing up, I used to dream like, man, one day playing some snow, have fun, slide around, just do crazy things. And, you know, from the start of the game to the end of the game, I mean, that's a crazy, crazy forecast. But we was able to weather our own storm and go out there and get it done. So it's just, like I say, give credit to everybody a part of this win. It's a great win for us and well-deserved, well-needed.
Yeah, I think it was hard for everybody. You know, it was hard for receivers to get in and out of breaks. It was tough for the DBs to do the same. It was even playing field. It was tough for, you know, both sides.
I'm telling you, it was insane. There was like, sometimes it felt like 8 inches on the ground in some spots. I mean, when you would step, you couldn't even touch the grass. So the fact that he was doing that, I mean, it's crazy.
It's going down in history. I think so. I mean, considering this, you got two of the best offenses in the league as of right now. And, no one wants to lose. Our situation, us being a new program and everything, everyone's first year is there. I think it's Kelly's first time in the snow too, you know what I'm saying? And play calls change. They can't run the same things that we practice. Everyone is affected by this weather, and it's just fun to see how things turn out.
And I've played in snow games before, but everyone I've played up until now, it really wasn't that slick. And it didn't come down that hard. I mean, that was the first time where I've seen the snow in a game I played, you know, really influence play calls and decision making, go for it on 4th down because you don't want to punt and risk a turnover or something like that. I mean, there are a lot of things that, that weather made a huge difference in the game.
I think we were all excited, man. I think it was fun. You know, you grow up kind of watching NFL films of games like that in the playoffs. And so we knew this was going to be a day that we would remember. We wanted to make sure it was a day that we remembered winning the game.
Really a day for the players to be kids on the field before the game, sliding around. And then when the Eagles got down to business in the second half, it was time to finish off the Detroit Lions. Now, we're going to be talking about that game and everything around it for quite a bit of time. The players need to turn the page and get ready for the Minnesota Vikings. And amidst all that, we've got the Dallas Cowboys on the road tonight in Chicago. Go Bears! Beat the Cowboys tonight. Let's get you caught up on the headlines of the day. It's not just about the snow. The Eagles 8-5 and rolling toward the playoffs. Chris McPherson handles the headlines.
Thanks, Dave. And what a game for the ages. The game that will always be referenced to as the snowball. The Eagles winning their 5th straight game, the longest winning streak in the NFL, by a 34-20 margin over the Detroit Lions. And of course, it was all about the 8 inches of snow on the ground. Then it was LeSean McCoy dominating, especially in the fourth quarter, to come out with 217 rushing yards to set a new franchise record, eclipsing the mark of the great Steve Van Buren's 205 set all the way back in 1949. McCoy had 148 of those rushing yards in the fourth quarter alone, as the Eagles scored 28 points to tie a franchise record for the most points in a single quarter. The mark was previously set at the Miracle at the New Meadowlands back in 2010. With his outstanding performance yesterday, LeSean McCoy is back to number one atop the league leaderboard in rushing yards with 1,305 on the season. He is very, very close to his career high. Now, the win, very, very important for the Eagles as they keep setting the pace in the NFC East. They are now at 8-5. Later tonight, the Dallas Cowboys will travel to Chicago to take on the Chicago Bears. On Monday Night Football, the Cowboys must win in order to keep pace with the Eagles, who are now 8-5 in the NFC East. And a little bit later on the show, Chip Kelly gives his day after press conference. He'll talk about what it was like to break down the tape of this amazing snowball victory and who were some of the unsung heroes in the performance. Those are your headlines for this Monday after a victory, a snowball victory. We're going to send it back to Xfinity Studio with Dave Spadaro.
Thank you very much, Chris McPherson. See, it's already cleared up a little bit out there. The weather's still cold, but the snow has stopped and the roads are all plowed. And everybody in Philadelphia is in a great mood after that game. And it's not just Philly, it's the suburban area, Delaware, New Jersey, the whole area, all fired up about the Philadelphia Eagles. Five straight wins. We'll continue to talk about it on the other side. Chip Kelly, his press conference at 1 o'clock. And we will also update you if we hear anything from Minnesota. Of course, the Eagles playing the Vikings on Sunday. Adrian Peterson, their superstar running back, scheduled to have an MRI today on a sprained right foot. If we hear anything during the show, of course, we'll talk about it. As the Eagles kind of turn pages a little bit, we are going to talk about a truly remarkable game yesterday. We want to get your input as well. Eagles Live returns in just a moment.
Have you started shopping?
Just waiting for inspiration to strike. And there it is. Done. Genius.
Get the gift of Dunkin' Coffee. Get 3 pounds for $19.99. Only at Dunkin' restaurants. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and the North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Make sure to have the Eagles with you wherever you go by downloading our official Eagles app, which provides news, notes, features, and all of our live shows.
This holiday season, my good friend gave to me 7 Powerball tickets, 6 Netflix chances, 5 cash bags, 4 Big Fours, 3 daily numbers, 2 Mega Millions.
Happy holidays, Rita.
Thanks, Joe.
What a great gift.
Pennsylvania Lottery tickets make great gifts, like the new $20 Merry Millionaire.
Happy holidays.
And best wishes from the lottery.
Nice sweater.
Thank you.
Festive.
You know it.
Hey.
Wow.
I know, right?
Knitted it myself.
Get in the spirit with Dunkin's new Red Velvet Latte. Pick up any medium latte for just $1.99. America runs on Dunkin'.
I'm Chip Kelly, head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Happy holidays to all you Eagles fans out there.
Well, we've said it all year, and we will continue to say it. When the Eagles win, you win. All you have to do is download the Dunkin' Donuts mobile app, and the day after an Eagles victory, you go to a participating Philadelphia area location and you receive a free medium hot coffee or a 24-ounce iced coffee the day after the Eagles win. So that's today. And if you haven't gone, boy, what a nice little treat. Go to Dunkin' Donuts and get a nice warm coffee, hot coffee, to kind of warm things up after the frigid Sunday and the night it was. It's getting cold in Philadelphia. In fact, it is cold in Philadelphia. See, I've got my sporty Eagles gear here, and you can have it too. In time for the holidays, get to the online store and get your merchandise today. All right, offensive explosion yesterday. Eagles, after one quarter, minus 2 yards of offense. After two quarters, 90 yards of offense. They ended up with 478 total yards of offense, 299 of them on the ground, 223 rushing yards in quarter number four. I mean, look at that. 223 yards on 21 carries in the fourth quarter. It's the most rushing yards by any team in a quarter since 1991, when quarterly stats were kept. And those 28 fourth quarter points, tying a team record set on 12-19-10, the miracle of the Meadowlands game, DeSean Jackson punt return. Now, I'm going to draw the parallel here because we're all Eagles fans, and we have to continue to think along the same way here. That game, big moment. DeSean Jackson punt return, great comeback, Eagles rolling. Who they play the next game? The Minnesota Vikings. What happened in that game? Well, the snow postponed the game till Tuesday. Antoine Winfield came off the edge and blitzed Michael Vick. And from that point on, the Eagles went downhill. So this week, critical that this team focuses and gets ready for the Vikings on the road and beats the Vikings and keeps this thing going in the right direction. Chip Kelly, after the game, very, very pleased with the team's offensive production.
I thought LeSean just did an outstanding job of really what we've been trying to preach here, just hitting things downhill. It was very tough, especially with this defense, to go lateral. We learned that, and with the weather, it was very difficult to go lateral. And you know, we felt like we had to get a downhill game going. I thought the job those three inside guys did was outstanding. You know, Todd and Jason and Evan against two really, really good defensive tackles. And then we just started changing up formationally kind of the look so that they couldn't chase us down a little bit from the backside. And I thought Brent Celek had a really, really good game. You know, that's why you got to play a full 60. And I think our guys understood that. There was no panic or anything at halftime. And, you know, just came in, made the necessary adjustments. Obviously, they scored, but it was on a very short field on Nick's first turnover of the year. And then the other two came on in the return game, which was it was a real difficult game from a return standpoint because it was almost like you outkicked your coverage so they could get something started. So real credit to those guys on the offensive side of the ball. And I thought our defense played really, really well considering the situation. So it was interesting. You know, it was really a couple times we thought we'd get some things going. Then we tried to stay out of the gun as much as we could. You know, we had a drive there early in the second quarter, and then all of a sudden we got back into the gun and the ball goes through Nick's hands. And, you know, we had some momentum going forward, and then we go back and we're just trying to get our footing. I think, you know, it's our ability to kind of get in and out. And then when you came out in the second half, you were wondering what the weather's going to be like. It seemed like it calmed down a little bit. It wasn't as bad as it was in the first half. So we felt like we could get it. You know, the one thing is our receivers felt like they could get open. You know, it was just whether we could actually catch a snap and throw it to him. So for the weather, I thought Riley and D-Jack did an unbelievable job for you know, considering the circumstances. So we felt like on our receivers felt, and it was funny, Kerry Williams was the one who came up to me, and he was like, Coach, Kerry made a great point. He's like, Coach, this is what you got to do because you can't make up speed if the guy makes a stick move on you because of the footing. You know, and Kerry was kind of the one, you know, and it's coming from a defensive guy saying, hey, if you have an opportunity to either throw a post or throw a corner route, it's hard to make up. And you know, when finally we hit Riley on it, it was almost like that kind of got us going. We got our confidence back a little bit, and then we got rolling there. You know, we can play in inclement weather, and we know being here that at times it's not going to be ideal, and we don't play in the dome. So we were comfortable in the fact that if we were going to have to go under more often. And I think, you know, it's a real credit to those guys in terms of what we did ball security-wise, besides the one pick where the ball sailed a little bit on Nick. You know, we didn't lose a fumble on the day. I thought that was outstanding to be able to run the ball like we did and not turn the ball over in that weather was outstanding. I just think it showed everybody what we know about them, you know, and I don't think this group gives up. I think they've got way too much invested. And I think the more you have invested in something, it's a lot more difficult to quit. And it's an extremely hard-working group. And they understand that it's a long game, you know, and you just got to keep plugging away, and you can't get discouraged when you're not successful early, because in this league, there's a lot of times you're not going to be able to just go out there and say, hey, this is what we choose to do. You know, there's so many good players on the other teams that it's always going to be a battle, and they just know if we kind of hang in there and just keep fighting and just keep banging away, that good things are going to happen for us.
Well, if you had any concerns about Nick Foles in inclement weather, kind of got answered yesterday. I mean, maybe we'll never play another game in his NFL career with these kinds of conditions, with, you know, 8 inches of snow, driving snow, hard snow, snow that was just piling up early in the game. Really held his own. And after an early interception, Nick Foles came up big for the Philadelphia Eagles, 11 out of 22. 179 yards. So the Eagles making big plays down the field in the passing game, which really opened up the run game later on. One touchdown, one interception. So his streak is over at 237 passes, and that's fine. That streak, we don't have to talk about that anymore, but still the touchdown pass. He's now got 20 TDs, one interception this season, and ran a little bit just to keep the Lions a little bit honest with his abilities with the legs. Let's go to Nick Foles after the game. 34-20, the Eagles win, and Foles, a happy team player.
Definitely. I mean, that was a very, very unique game. I've never played in a game quite like that. And just, you know, obviously we didn't play well in the first half. Weather conditions aside, we still have to go out there and execute. But the guy, you know, that's what I love about this team. We know we're gonna face adversity. But we're a tight-knit group that we know that we're going to go out there and we're going to continue to play together, and we're going to figure things out, and we're going to pop a big one. We're going to put some points on the board. Defense is going to get us the ball back. We're going to have special teams plays, and we believe that each and every game. So when we face adversity like we did in the first half, there was no, you know, we came in the halftime, nobody, you know, wavered. we all knew we were going to go out in the second half and we were going to play together as a team. We were going to make plays. And just really proud of the guys for sticking together and getting another great team win. So like I told y'all before, they happen. And if you let, on any level, one interception defeat you, you can't play this game. You know, I knew what I did wrong. I knew that I sort of lost, was trying to get my receiver opportunity, left it a little high, but I know how I can fix it. You know, I drive it a little lower and it's, you know, hopefully a completion. But my teammates look at me in those situations and they look at the quarterback when there is an interception thrown. And I know a lot of hype has been made for the touchdown interception ratio that I don't even worry about. I care about the wins. And, you know, I learned from him, you know, it's an interception. I'm going to move forward, and I can't wait to get back on the field, you know, throw a touchdown, make a big play, because that's what the teammates look at. They look at the quarterback in that situation and see how he responds. So Brent and I were the only ones who really knew about what was going on. So we had seen that throughout the course of the game, and you have to make big plays. You have to do stuff like that to win games in that situation. We were, you know, fourth down. We knew we needed a first down to, you know, run the clock out. That's a big play. We don't want to put the ball back in Matt's hands. So it was one of those things we had seen through the course of the game, and we were able to execute it. And Brent made a big play, and, you know, a veteran move right there. I don't know how many people, you know, would have wanted to score a touchdown right there. And Brent, being a team player, goes down and slides because he knows if, you know, they don't have any timeouts, we're just going to kneel and win the game.
You didn't even know that was going to happen.
I mean, I was hoping it was because I knew that, you know, and, you know, I know Brent, he's a team player, so – I'm proud of him for making that decision. We're going to, you know, I'm going to play personally as hard as I can with all I have, and I know all my teammates are going to do the same, and that's why we go so well together. And we know we're going to make mistakes, but as long as you're going as hard as you can and you're learning from through the course of the game, we know as a team we're going to be okay because we got each other's backs. And that's something that's special, and that's something that's growing here in Philadelphia. And that's how you win games. You win games as a team, and we're learning. We're getting used to each other. We're bonding as a group. And you can see that throughout this game. You know, we weren't playing well in the first half. What were we down, 14-0? And we come out, the defense does a great job. We put up 34 points, and we get another team win. And that's what's so special about playing here is we got great people. We have great people in the NovaCare facility. We have great coaches. And, you know, I'm just proud to be a Philadelphia Eagle.
And, of course, talk about the offense yesterday would not be even remotely complete without just praising the efforts of LeSean McCoy once again. 217 yards, 2 touchdowns, 29 carries, able to make people miss in all of that snow. That is ankle deep and deeper snow. Look at those numbers for McCoy. Just remarkable. 40-yard touchdowns. He's got 7 of them in the fourth quarter of games in his career. That's an NFL record. LeSean McCoy, the best in the NFL, leads the league with 1,305 rushing yards. And he's just 208 yards away from setting the Eagles franchise mark, currently held by Wilbur Montgomery, 1,512 yards, set in 1979. One of the all-time best here, guys. Let's take a look at some of the Shady's snow show facts. That surpassed 2-17, surpassed Steve Van Buren's mark of 205 yards, set way back in 1949. Those 40 and 53-yard touchdowns, he's got 7 of them now. That's amazing. Talk about doing it at clutch time, LeSean McCoy. Fourth quarter, he's got 7 career touchdowns of 40-plus yards, and there we go with the 1,305 yards. He is he's an all-timer, guys, and he was pleased to be talking about his performance and really crediting those around him after the game.
I mean, the guys up front, this gave me opportunities one-on-one. Blowing them guys off the ball. I think everybody's so intimidated and scared of their guys up front on Detroit. You know, I felt like the big guys on my team, they just took a challenge and stepped up. The whole week they talked about just running the ball, you know, giving me different matchups one-on-one. I think not only just myself, but just the backs we do have, I think one-on-one opportunities, we're going to win. I mean, today that's what happened. Yeah, I mean, it was tough, to be honest. It was definitely tough. Normal footing and traction that we get from just stopping and cutting. Some of them I couldn't really plant like I usually plant on the dime, but it worked out. The guys were giving me so much room. I was, even on some of the tough yards where they were stopping me, I was getting about 4 a pop, so it worked out. It's a mental thing, I feel like. I mean, obviously it's going to be tough because it's the snow and the weather, but you don't think about it when you're running. You know, I think only if you think about it, kind of sets you back a little bit. See, people really don't know. They just see just the moves that I make, but I actually like to run between the tackles. It gives me so much different leverage. Don't want to go up the middle, bring it outside, reverse it. You know, so I actually like to run in between the tackles. And you know, honestly, you can see your holes. And it's today, like I said before, just the guys up front, man. Just, I mean, they gave me so much room to work. You know, tons of credit that goes out to them guys. And I think this Nick hitting some balls, completing them, gives you something else to look at. This season, really, the guys in the secondary, even linebackers, they're not coming to tackle me. They're throttling me down, waiting for me to cut. I don't know if they're nervous for the shake moves or they're shooting at my legs. So I'm just anticipating them to shoot. Give them maybe one stick and then hop over them, because everybody's trying to cut my legs out instead of, you know, the form tackling, wrapping up, that type of thing. He's definitely Hall of Famer, one of the best backs to play this game, and obviously to play here in Philadelphia. So it means a lot. I think records are meant to be broken, and it's been standing for so long, you know, and he's a guy, if you want to break a record, why not his? He's a guy that put so much work in, you know, and even the touchdown record. So we have some things, some history together.
Did you know he had 196 yards in the blizzard in the NFL championship game?
I know now. But it doesn't surprise me, though. I actually watched some tape on him. He was pretty good, very dominant.
You know, I'm watching all these highlights, and sitting there yesterday in the press box and experiencing everything was surreal. And then to watch it the day after, it just adds another element of craziness to it. That was a blizzard. I mean, that was like a brief period of time, but the area got dumped, you know, 4 to 6 inches of snow in like an hour and a half. It was absolutely crazy. All right, time now for our Beneath the Surface feature, presented by Microsoft. And Surface is the official tablet of the NFL. And here we talk with Jeremiah Trotter, who knows a thing or two about breaking down a run game. Well, he's pretty impressed with what LeSean McCoy and the offensive line, how it's all coming together for the run game.
The Eagles rushed for an astounding 289 yards. I'm going to show you how they did it. You look at this first play. All year long, we've been running zone schemes outside. But because of the inclement weather, they wasn't able to get their footing to get the ball outside. So now, they still run the zone scheme look, but McCoy keeps the ball downhill. Now, you have a great double team by Todd Harriman and Lane Johnson right here on Sue. They get great movement on Sue. McCoy is very patient. They double team up to the linebacker, then it's off to the races. You run it. If you freeze it right there, they move Sue all the way out of the way. They move the line of scrimmage at least 2 yards, which allows Lane Johnson to get up to the linebacker here. Run it. McCoy, great patient, explodes through the hole, hurdles one guy, breaks another tackle, then it's off to the races.
And we take a look at some of our top performers, and there were a lot of them. Bryce Brown, nice run right there. Maybe could have turned it up and scored a touchdown there. But the Eagles really getting it going first with the pass game. And I thought this was a key play. Riley Cooper twisting and turning a 44-yard completion. That led to a touchdown. Nick Foles showing mobility, I guess, on this kind of day, and throws it up to DeSean Jackson for the touchdown that got the Eagles offense on the board. Here are your top performances. Performers from the game: Nick Foles, LeSean McCoy, Riley Cooper, the Florida kid who was not bothered at all by the nasty conditions and also had a two-point conversion in the mix. We go into the locker room after the game. Brent Celek makes the big play late, blocked very well throughout the game. And I believe this, Eagles fans, I believe that 4th and 12 play, the Foles connection to Celek and his slide after, is going to be one of those iconic moments that we're always going to talk about. Hey, do you remember that game when Brent Celek slid in the snow to end the game? It's certainly not a miracle of the Meadowlands. It's nothing like a 4th and 26 play. But for those who were there, for everybody who watched, it really touched off the celebration at Lincoln Financial Field.
Just knowing the game was over, you know, being able to slide, and hey, it's it. It was a good feeling. I mean, it was real big. Especially for us as a team, to be down like that in these conditions, you know it's going to be hard to come back. And then to do what we did, I mean, we just kind of went on fire there at the end. But I thought it was big for our team.
Fairley's a good run stopper for the most part, but, you know, they don't they didn't want to I don't think they want to defend the run. I think they want to get sacks. I think that that's their main deal. And when we were able to get combination blocks on them, I felt like we were able to get movement. And, you know, those guys at times were obviously very challenging. They still got some pressures on Nick and got us off kilt inside and some pass plays. But I felt in the run game, that's where, you know, we excel. So I felt like we had the upper hand when we had those plays called.
We faced adversity, and we've been in those kind of positions many times. And you don't let it get to you. You just you go out and answer. You keep playing. You don't get too high or too low with your emotions. And you just keep going for four quarters. That's all you got
to
do.
That's credit to the O-line. You know, we kind of, you know, came off to a slow start. And, you know, they just stayed with it and just kept believing in us. And, you know, sure enough, they started to pop and pop once we got warmed up.
We just came out, you know, motivated, determined. You know, we felt they weren't a better team than us. You know, we felt we were the better team. So, you know, they did a great job first half, you know, doing some things. You know, but once we kind of calmed down and, you know, just continue to do what we do is run the ball and, you know, pass the ball when we can. That's, you know, what this team is all about. So we were able to go out there and continue to do what we do.
That's huge. And there's so many great individual efforts. You know, Shady, I mean, what he did today, setting team record and really, I mean, carrying us almost. You know, he played an outstanding game, and, you know, I'm really proud of him.
Well, it wasn't just the offense that did the work for the Eagles against Detroit. For the ninth consecutive game, the Eagles hold an opponent to 21 points or less. And on this day, the Eagles holding the Lions to just 6 offensive points. Great job. We will talk about that on the other side. Chip Kelly coming up shortly. Your phone calls as well. Eagles Live marches on. We'll be right back.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
That dude is huge.
That's you, Jones.
That's me.
Your home for the most high sports, Xfinity.
It's time for the annual shareholders meeting. There will be the usual presentations on research and development. Some new members of the team will be introduced. The chairman emeritus will distribute his usual wisdom. And you? Well, you're the chief life officer. You just need the right professional to help you take charge.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Well, the Eagles defense doing it once again. We welcome you back to Eagles Live. Dave Spadaro with you. Chip Kelly coming along at about 1 o'clock to talk about the Eagles the day after the 34-20 win over Detroit. The Eagles, by the way, have not allowed a team to score more than 21 points in 9 straight weeks. That's the longest current streak in the NFL, the longest streak this season. And we take a look at the numbers. Now, obviously, the Lions get 2 returns on for touchdowns, a punt return and a kickoff return. So that changes the numbers quite a bit here. But the key number there, turnovers, the Eagles forcing 3 of them. And, I mean, it was huge. Taking the football away from Joique Bell twice early kept the Eagles in the game. 7 fumbles in all for the Lions. And you see the conditions were just brutal. But the Eagles' defense hanging in there. And they limited Calvin Johnson, the all-world wide receiver, to just 3 catches. That's Larry Fitzgerald, 5 catches 1 week. Calvin Johnson, 3 catches the week after. When you play the 2 best wide receivers in the game and you only allow 8 receptions, you have done a fantastic job. And Eagles defensive coordinator Bill Davis, again, likes the way his team played physical, smart football.
Well, I think when you throw it down there vertical, they caught the one vertical ball, and they did a nice job. And we were all trying to adjust to the weather conditions, and you never know who was going to lose their footing on one play or not, or fumble the ball or not. So those are fun games when you can win them. They change the whole dynamic of the game, though, and it kind of it's a great equalizer. We always talk about it. You have the right cleats in, check it in pregame. If the conditions change during the game, you know, we got a great training, you know, equipment staff that helps the guys change their cleats right on the sideline if that particular guy needs it. Right before kickoff, we got together as a defensive staff and said, hey, let's start a lot more basic than we had planned to. Let's see what the weather conditions, you know, allow us to do and not do. A little concern for the DBs. I think it's harder to go backwards and plant than it is to go forward. So if they were going to try some deep passes, I wanted to be ready for it. And knowing that they'd probably start with some run game, and we'd have to handle it with our lighter box just to see what the feel of the game was. And once we got it in a little bit of rhythm, you know, then we kind of expanded our calls of what we could do, seeing what they did. And the corners did a great job, and safeties when they were on them, but the corners did a great job of being on them. It's a pretty difficult task. Moving forwards a lot easier in those conditions than moving backwards.
Sure.
And our DBs were actually in more harm's way, I thought, than if it had been a better surface. So our guys have to go backwards, plant and drive. That's a little bit difficult task when you know where you're going. So we kind of played them back off a little bit farther to make sure that we were safe. And that's all right, and make sure we didn't slip and give up a big one because, you know, of our footing. So it was a challenge, and our corners did a great job. We did okay. You know, we let a couple slip out on us, but, you know, we felt like we were tackling them hard, and he fumbled a couple times. And once someone fumbles, they slow it down a little bit too. They're not quite the same runner. But I think we had a group defensive effort. The D-line did a great job. They were tackling hard, rapping, and punching for the ball at the same time. We knew the conditions would probably have some turnovers on both sides. None of us had played in the snow yet, so we had a feeling out. They're a dome team, so they had to be on the road to do that. So we all were just feeling out as we went and adjusted as you know, they were trying to figure out what they could do. They tried to throw deep early, and the wind just wouldn't let them. So they adjusted, and we adjusted, but it was a fun game.
All right, let's take a look at some of the numbers that really, really stand out. You see the point difference has gone way down. Everything about this team has gone way down. 4 touchdowns per game allowed in the first 4 games, 1.8. So the Eagles have just done a remarkable job changing the complexion of the game from a defensive standpoint. And solid yesterday in, obviously, defensive conditions. Matthew Stafford did not handle it well at all, and the Eagles put some pressure on him and got their hands up and tipped some passes. And I like it. That's good coaching. They knew Matthew Stafford changed the angle of his arm from time to time, so they went in there with their hands up, and he did not handle them at all. So great job by the Eagles D. As we take a look at Connor Barwin and company doing a great job, we go in the locker room and talk to the defense, starting with Connor after the game.
Well, we knew it would be a game that came down to turnovers. The ball was going to be coming out a little bit easier. So we were always constantly talking about, you know, punching at the running back. And then, thankfully, they had a little trouble with their center QB exchange.
Knew we had a challenge today, and especially with the conditions, we just knew we had to keep our feet under us and play the routes as they came. And we were able to do that today, and now we feel good about this win and get ready for the next win or next game next week.
You would think that, but, you know, we all still got to go play, and we still play with our instincts as cornerbacks and safeties, and we were able to hold up today and help our team out for a win.
Expecting Calvin, you know.
Everything went out the window. We played a completely different game than what we practiced for.
It was huge for us, you know, considering the elements, you know, the weather condition we were under, to come out with a win against a really, really good football team, that was big for us. I mean, it just shows how our team works. I feel like we get better as a team as the game gets longer, we get better as a team, and it really showed today. Nothing I didn't know is just our guys going to battle to the end. That's one thing about our team. Nobody ever lets up. Guys continue to battle. Even when things look like they're not going well for us, there's no doubt in anybody's mind when we're on that sideline that we weren't going to get it done.
Some of your top performers for the day, Connor Barwin, Michael Kendricks, Benny Logan, with the blocked extra point, David Akers' attempt. Spent a moment with David before the game. He says hello to every Eagles fan out there. Loved being a Philadelphia Eagle. And let's be honest, guys, we'll always be a Philadelphia Eagle. But the Eagles defense here doing the job. Linebackers excellent against the Lions, who did not have Reggie Bush. But I'm not sure his game would have translated very well in those kinds of conditions. We take a break now. When we come back, we're going to take some phone calls, starting with Andre in Las Vegas. And then Chip Kelly, his day after press conference, should be entertaining. And then at the very end of the show, we want you to hear this. The calls of the game, both from Merrill Reese on the Eagles radio network, and then Ricky Ricardo from the Eagles Spanish radio broadcast. Really exciting to hear the bilingual approach to the Eagles 34-20 win. We're coming right back. I'm Dave Spadaro. Eagles Live returns in a moment.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
Let's get it. Let's go.
Proven hydration to help replace what you sweat out.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
Happy holidays, Eagles fans.
Well, there's three games remaining in this regular season, so let's take a look at the Eagles' upcoming schedule, the NFL schedule here. The Eagles' upcoming schedule presented by NFL Ticket Exchange, powered by Ticketmaster for the only 100% verified way to buy or sell NFL tickets. Visit NFL.com/ticket exchange. We're down to three, ladies and gentlemen, at Minnesota on Sunday. We're still waiting for the update. Adrian Peterson, star running back, having an MRI on his right foot, a sprained right foot. That is a critical update. Also, Vikings tight end John Carlson hurt in the game yesterday, the loss, the Wild game in Baltimore. And then after that, the regular season home finale, December 22nd, against the Chicago Bears, who we are rooting for mightily tonight. They host the Dallas Cowboys. Eagles finish the regular season in Dallas. We take a look at the NFC playoff picture. Seattle in good shape. They lost last night, so that makes them 11-2. The 49ers win that game, so the 49ers in good position from a wild card standpoint, along with Detroit and the Eagles. NFC East wild card. There's still a lot of football left here. Let's get to some phone calls before Chip has his press conference. 215-339-6709. Let's hear from Andre in Las Vegas. Andre, thanks for holding.
How you doing, Dave? How you doing?
Doing great. How are you, buddy?
I'm happy.
Yeah, everybody is.
I'm glad. I'm happy for the coaches. I'm happy for the team, the city. You know, I mean, I just can't wait. I'm eager. I'm eager to get the show on the road here, man. I believe we can do it. I got faith. And most importantly, I'm happy I'm able to watch these press conferences all right, and not hear them say, well, we should have did this, we should have did that. Now they're saying, we executed this, we executed that, and we're actually following through with what we need to do, man. I believe we're going to make this playoff run. I'm rooting for Chicago tonight, and I'm just a happy guy, man.
You
I'm
sound like it. Today. Hey, Andre, thanks for the call. We appreciate that. I mean, I hear how happy you are. It's interesting, and when you call up, guys, let's talk a little bit about this over the next couple of days. What were your expectations when the Eagles hired Chip Kelly? A lot of the conversation we had then was, hey, I just want it to be fun again. I just want to have fun. This is going to be fun. We don't have any expectations. Well, obviously, everybody's hopes and desires have changed now that the Eagles have won 5 straight games. It is, let's make the playoffs here. Let's do some damage. Let's keep winning, 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 and see this team grow. Because it is fun, and Chip has been a blast, but it's also a lot more fun to win games. Shannon in Fort Lauderdale joins us. Hey, Shannon.
Eagles pride is flying high, Big Dave. You're looking smooth in your Eagle sweater, man. Looking real smooth,
thank
bro.
You. It's a zip up.
It looks good, man. Yes. Looks good on you, man. How about that game, Dave? Talk to me, man. Classic, man.
Well, definitely, you know, classic. it really was, and I think as it settles in, at least in Philadelphia here, you're in the sunny confines of Fort Lauderdale. the Eagles are you know, the region's kind of digging out from all this snow, and you look back on it, and it's just incredible how hard the snow was coming down. And really, the mood in the stadium for everybody who was there was kind of like, wow, this is so fun. This is so fun for about the first quarter. And then all of a sudden you're going, all right, well, it's fun and everything, but let's get something going here. And the Eagles didn't until late in the second quarter when they had a 74-yard drive. Until that time, the Eagles just getting nothing going. And then when it was 14-0 in the third quarter, it was uh-oh time. And then Philadelphia's offense came to play. Take another phone call from Q in New Jersey. Hey, Q.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
How are you?
I'm good, man. Man, what a game yesterday, man.
Yeah, it was good.
I called to let you know, man. I always knew that we was just a few pieces away from last year. We wasn't as bad as our record was, man. If we could get that defense playing a little bit better, I knew we could make a playoff run.
Well, it's interesting. So you really believe that the difference with this team is the playoff? I mean, is the defense?
Yeah, it's the defense by far. I always knew offense was never really a problem. If we could get that defense playing a little bit up to the offense, we was good to go.
Yeah, now let me ask you this, Q. Does Chip Kelly's offensive system, are you convinced absolutely that it works?
Well, really Chip Kelly's offense is more like a traditional offense because we're running a football. That's all you need to do in December football, just run the ball.
Well, I mean, I thank you for the call. I believe this, though. I mean, and I do think that the Eagles running the football, and I wrote about this actually earlier. I believe this, that building the offensive line, the depth of running back, the Eagles have probably as healthy a running game as I can ever remember them having. And they have the confidence. They can run the football anywhere. But you also have to throw the football. And having Nick come in and stabilize things and play such great football has really allowed this offense to take off. And, of course, when you keep your mistakes to a minimum, as we take a look at the numbers here, Eagles in front in the NFL in rushing yards and rushing average per game. When you don't turn the football over, you give yourself a chance to win games. We take a break now. Chip Kelly coming up in a few moments. We take some more phone calls between now and then. 215-339-6709. Dave Spadaro with you. Eagles Live. We'll be back in just one moment.
Have you started shopping?
Just waiting for inspiration to strike. And there it is. Done.
Genius.
Give the gift of Dunkin' Coffee. Get 3 pounds for $19.99. Only at Dunkin' Restaurants. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Make sure to have the Eagles with you wherever you go by downloading our official Eagles app, which provides news, notes, features, and all of our live shows.
This holiday season, my good friend gave to me 7 Powerball tickets, 6 match 6 chances, 5 cash prizes, 4 big 4s, 3 daily numbers, 2 legs.
Happy holidays, Rita.
Thanks, Joe.
What a great gift.
Pennsylvania Lottery tickets make great gifts, like the new $20 Merry Millionaire.
Happy holidays.
And best wishes from the lottery.
Nice sweater.
Thank you.
Festive.
You know it. Hey.
Wow.
I know, right?
I knitted it myself.
Get in the spirit with Dunkin's new Red Velvet Latte. Pick up any medium latte for just $1.99. America runs on Dunkin'.
Good segue for me because, of course, when the Eagles win, you win. Thanks to Dunkin' Donuts. Just download the Dunkin' Donuts mobile app and receive a free medium hot coffee or a 24-ounce iced coffee the day after the Eagles win. So that is going on today at all local participating Dunkin' Donuts in this region. Let's get to some phone calls before Chip Kelly gets to the podium. Let's begin here with somebody who was at the game yesterday, and I know he's exhausted, and I don't know how in the world the Zompster is working. Zompster, how are you, buddy?
Listen, man, I'm being 100% honest. I know I sound like we just lost, but I'm so overjoyed. I can't even explain the
why. Why the restraint here?
Because, man, it's like I love this team so much, Dave. I woke up this morning, like, tearing up. I don't know why. It's like I love this team so much. And, dude, it's like it's like a dream that I don't want to end. You know, I don't want to wake up from this. They won 5 in a row. They're playing. They're so resilient. The continuity of the team, they all battle together.
I know that, Zump, but you're quiet. You're all laid back. Come on!
How about those bags, dude, man. You fire me up. I'm emotional this morning. I want to burst out of cry. I really do, man. It's just
How was the experience of being at the stadium yesterday? How crazy was
dude,
it?
Dude, first of all, I froze my you-know-what off. That's yep. Number one, okay?
Okay?
Number two, it was like Magic Town. Well, me and Chris, shout out to him, Chris from Virginia, man, hooked me up with the tickets. I was over there, and let me tell you, I could not see a thing, and I had good seats. I felt like the snow was moving on its own.
Yeah.
But it was such a memorable day. I'm so appreciative to be there. It was just a great game. First half was miserable, but you know what? This team has, like I said, so much. They're so resilient. Came back and just throw out that game plan. Started taking snaps from, not under shotgun
right.
And stuff. Taking it, and it was just. I'm just emotional right now, man. I just love this team. I just hope it keeps going, man. And
did you cheer for Fred Barnett and Calvin Williams in the halftime show?
I saw you, man. I saw you doing an interview over there, man. Of course. Were you kidding me?
Yeah, thank you, man. Thanks for
supporting. I got to give a shout out to Chris from Virginia for giving me the tickets. Shout out to my boy EDP. But let me give an Eagles chant.
Please do.
And let's go, Birds, baby. Eagles.
Thank you, Zompy.
All right, man. Take care.
Resume your normal day if, in fact, there is such a thing as a Zomp normal day. 215-339-6709. Chip Kelly coming up in just one moment. And then we're going to play back some of the sounds of the game from Merrill Reese from the Eagles Radio Network and then Ricky Ricardo from the Eagles Spanish radio broadcast. And you're going to hear a lot of excitement as we relive a truly memorable Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field. Let's go to New York, New Jersey and talk to Kais. Kais, welcome to the show, bro.
Pretty good. I was at the game yesterday. I brought my mom and my wife for their first game ever.
And?
We had a great time. It was great.
The ladies, it didn't get too cold for the first timers?
They had a bunch of layers on. We had them prepared.
That is the key, guys. Layer upon layer upon layer. Okay, but it's interesting. Now, Zomp said he couldn't really see early in the game. And from the press box, it was very difficult in that first quarter to see what was actually happening on the field. What was your perspective?
About the same thing. We were sitting over at 203, and it was hard to see probably first quarter, but it was really like you were in a Madden game when you turn the weather up all the way to terrible snow, and it was great.
Well, I'm glad. Did you hang in for the whole game?
Absolutely.
Wasn't it just a wild celebration in the fourth quarter?
Oh, fourth quarter was amazing. It was like you couldn't make it up. It was big run after big run. It was great.
Well, hey, man, I'm glad that you brought some loved ones to the game and shared an experience that it's an all-timer. It's an epic performance.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so psyched.
Well, thanks, man. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
You got it. That's the thing. I know some people who brought family members for the first time, and to bring it to that game, I mean, that's the game that I don't think the Eagles have ever played. You know, in the modern era, I'm talking, the modern era, played in a game with a driving snowstorm that accumulated 8 inches. I know that 1949, Steve Van Buren, 1948, Steve Van Buren set his record and ran for 205 yards in 49 in a blizzard. But in the modern era, has there ever been, and I've been to every game since 87, I can't think of a game where it was this kind of sustained snow and the elements played this much of a factor into the performance. All right, let's go to Sean in Tampa, Florida. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Dave.
How are you?
Oh, man, doing super good after after that game yesterday.
It was quite a game. What was your perspective? You were watching it on TV, and I love the technology, Fox superimposing the yard lines on the television broadcast. It was very cool.
It was totally, it was brilliant. The way Shady, did his thing in the fourth quarter, the way the line blocked, the way the defense played, it was, one for the record books, and the record that he broke is outstanding.
So tell me this. Be honest with me, Sean. Eagles hire Chip Kelly. All right. What were your expectations going into the season, and how have they changed?
Well, it's kind of hard to say. You get into the whole, college coach coming into NFL, probably not going to have too much success year one. But, I believed that, he was going to do good things eventually. I didn't know how soon it was going to come, but, he's doing his thing.
Yeah, he's really doing a great job with his football team. Thanks for the phone call, Sean. Great stuff. I think everybody, again, well, we want to have fun with Chip Kelly. Well, it's changed. Now everybody wants to make the playoffs and just got to keep on winning. Obviously, if the Eagles win out, this football team wins the NFC East, and that is the way it goes. You want to be in control of your destiny. Here's an updated look at the NFC playoff picture. The Seahawks clinch a playoff berth. The Saints having a great season. The Eagles right there at the top of the NFC East. And we'll root very hard for the Chicago Bears tonight. Les in New Jersey. Oh, Chip Kelly. So Les, we'll get to you shortly. Chip Kelly meeting the media.
So how do you review a game like that? Can you even use the coach's film in the first half to?
Yeah, we can see everything.
You can see everything fine. Okay.
We can see everything. Our video guys did a good job, so we got tape. Things that we can work on and make adjustments on. So.
The players are out there playing and getting sweaty a little bit. Can you characterize, how cold were you on the sideline?
I don't think it was cold. It wasn't that cold. I've been in a lot colder games. I think, I don't know if it's a weather, I don't know the science behind it, but I think when it snows out, it's not as cold as when it's, most of the games I've been cold in, hasn't been any elements, but the temperatures have been in the single digits. So it was probably in the 30, so it wasn't I don't think the how cold it wasn't a factor. It was just how bad the conditions were, especially from a footing standpoint.
Was it miserable for you guys as coaches?
No, we're miserable at all. It was just you got to deal with it, and the one thing is it's the same for both teams. So it was just who could try not to shoot themselves in the foot as much. And I think we did a good job. Besides the one pass by Nick, we did a really good job in ball security. I think that was one of the differences in the game is that they put the ball on the ground. I think we recovered 3. But I think it was on the ground 7 times. We didn't make those unforced errors ourselves. And I think sometimes, bad snap or things like that, we were a lot more underneath the center than we normally are. But, we just felt like that was a situation. The one shotgun snap early in the second quarter that came flying back, probably a little hot. Nick didn't handle it real well. That was the biggest concern for us.
In practice, how much time do you spend on things that might not be in the game plan, such as being under center as much as you were?
We're under center every day, and we're under center in every game, so I don't have a percentage, but that wasn't a big deal for us. That wasn't like, oh my God, we got to take a center quarterback exchange. We do it all the time. We run a lot of plays from under, so.
Were the plays that you ran, were they dramatically different from what the play calls would have been in ideal temperatures?
No, the only really adjustment we made is we put in a little pop pass with Brent at the end and we had talked about doing that, and that was just a deal with Brent and Nick, but all the other adjustments were just some formation things to get us some surfaces to run at and to get some better double teams, but there wasn't anything out of the ordinary.
You talked about before how big your playbook is. If you would have had just to do under center the whole game, would you have felt comfortable, enough variety in there to go that in that direction?
Yeah.
Okay.
We can run our entire offense from there. So.
You guys are is there been too big a deal being made out of the idea of north-south running as opposed to, going outside every day, or is that something that, the north, because it seems like when you do it, the north-south, but is that weather related, or
No, I mean, obviously, but you need to attack defenses, you know, kind of across the front. You just can't always run the ball inside. And I think that's, you know, we've got a back that can get outside, and that's one of his strengths is we also have some athletic linemen. When you watch, you know, our statistics on our sweep play, when getting Jason Kelce and Jason Peters out in space and running on DBs is a good plan. But I think for the most part, going lateral in that game wasn't really the game plan you needed to run. We tried a couple things early laterally, and you just weren't going anywhere. So, you know, it was more of just going to play a downhill game and, you know, try to – I mean, I didn't think we were going to score 34 points, but I thought that we could at least establish some things. Very difficult for, I think, the D linemen to get their feet in the ground a little bit, and so we could create some movement up there, and I thought our guys did a good job, especially in the double teams.
Chip, you look at the numbers over the league over the last several years, the rule changes, teams are throwing the ball more. Given the rule changes, pass interference, things like that, it's on paper easier to throw the ball more. You guys kind of fly in the face of that in a way. I mean, you run the ball an awful lot, and you get huge chunk plays out of it. When you came into the league, did you think, you know, I know I'm bucking a trend here. Did you say, I'm going to do what I do? How do you kind of contrast what you guys are able to do versus the trend?
I think we're balanced, to be honest with you. And I think one of the things that opened up our running game yesterday and has opened up our running game this season is our ability to throw the ball over the top, because I think the easy answer is if you're running the ball really well, we got to get another safety down in the box. And if you do get a safety down in the box, then you're leaving Deshaun and Riley one-on-one outside. And people will continue to do that if Deshaun and Riley don't hurt you. But, you know, those guys have been a huge component of what we're doing. And if you're any receiver, you want one-on-one coverage. So if you're a receiver, you want to be able to run the ball really well where they can't help, you know, and I think that's kind of the ongoing chess match that goes on with it.
Even that, be that as it may, other teams aren't getting chunk plays in the run game, it seems, to the extent that you guys are. Is there something inherent, intrinsic in your offense, in your rushing offense, that allows that? Is it just you're that smart?
71, 65, 62, 79, 69, 87. You know, I mean, we got some guys that can block, and we got a very, very talented running back. So, you know, there's a lot of things you have philosophically. We'd like to do this. They'd like to do that. You still have to have the players executed. And I've said this all along. This whole deal is a personnel-driven thing, and we've got some really talented guys on the offensive line. We have a really talented tight end when it comes to blocking. Our receivers had an outstanding game. You know, one of the unsung heroes of yesterday, I don't even think he had a pass on him, was Jason Avant. You watch the block he threw on LaShawn's play where he took the safety back into the free safety. You know, and that's the type of team we are. Jason's on the sideline asking me, can run the ball my way. I don't know how many wide receivers in this league are asking to have the ball run their way, but, you know, I think that's kind of a testament to the type of team we have right now.
You guys are number one by far in big 40-yard plays on offense. But you're also, I think, top five, fourth or fifth in fewest big plays allowed. And those are the momentum plays. How big do you think those two kind of trends are as far as really being able to take command of games?
I think it's big. You know, I think one of the things we talked about all year long defensively especially was not getting the ball thrown over our head, and I think our guys have done a good job of that. You know, and I think at times you're going to give up some slant balls and some things inside, and I think people earlier, why are you letting people throw the ball in front of you? Well, I'd rather have it thrown in front of me and rally up and make the tackle than have the ball thrown over the top and give up easy plays. And I think over time, we felt like we had a group of guys on the offensive side of the ball that can put some points on the board. So if we make offenses go out and earn it, you know, not just one-play deals going down the field, then we got a shot at winning. And that's kind of, you know, the whole kind of concept we have. Let's create turnovers over defense. Let's do a great job in ball security on offense. We have the ability to be explosive on offense, but let's not allow the other team to get back into it with an easy play. So
as hard as it was to run in that game, you guys got 300 yards. They didn't run anywhere near as effectively. Based on your film review and evaluations, how did the defensive linemen do, Cox?
I thought, you know, when you go through it, there wasn't a stand-up, but I think really what our defensive line did really was kind of the key to the game. And Futcher was outstanding, Sed was outstanding, Benny was outstanding, is that those guys did a great job with just base techniques and not getting pushed off the football and had their cleats in the ground, did everything that Coach Az teaches and, you know, allowed Michael Kendricks to run around. You know, I thought we set the edges really well. I thought Connor and Trent and Brandon did a really good job of setting the edges and kind of containing the back so that there weren't explosive plays in the run game from that standpoint. So.
Have you ever had a defensive player come up to you and suggest, you know, offensive strategy before? And And what does that say about, Kerry Williams, that he was able to do that?
I've had a lot of players come up and suggest a lot of things to me. It's just you got to be smart enough to know who to listen to, you know. I mean, trust me, I don't think I've ever had a receiver that's ever been covered, you know. And it's an amazing phenomenon. I'm wide open. I know you're wide open because the ball went over there and the entire defense ran over there. That's why you're standing by yourself. Now, if you were running and blocking like you were supposed to be, you wouldn't be wide open because it was a run play. So you should be. So, but it just depends on who you will listen to, you know. And I think Kerry's one of the guys on this team that he's all football. And he's a student of the game. And you just watch how detail-oriented he is in practice. He doesn't talk very much, but when he talks, you should listen to him. He's got a great football mind. He understands the game. And he made a really valid point about it didn't matter what you were doing. I think kind of thinking maybe you should just be dumping the ball down and playing it is that you can run by these guys because they can't transition. He said he couldn't transition. You know, they had one big play to Calvin. It was your feet kind of get stuck in the ground. So if the one guy has a running start and you don't have a running start, it's an advantage to you. So I think I've had a lot of guys make suggestions, but I think what I have to do is who should I listen to? And I'll listen to Kerry because Kerry really understands the game.
How much did you know about McCoy before you took the job? And do you have any recollection of putting on the tape for the first time?
No, I mean, I knew he was a really good player in this league, but when you're a college football coach, you don't watch any NFL because Sundays is the day after your game and you're breaking down your film and you're not watching anything. So I never really watched the full game of anybody, no matter who it was. So, when you watch a film, you knew he's an explosive runner. He's talented. He can do a lot of things on his own. You know, he can make a lot of people miss. You know, he's probably as good as there is in the league at making people miss in the open field. And I was excited when I got here to get a chance to work with him.
You're leaving about the defense, but it did seem like that they made adjustments during the game. I mean, early on, the Lions were moving down the field. They were just turning the ball over. Then that suddenly stopped in the second half. Did you guys do anything different?
No, I think we both sides of the ball kind of stuck to our game plan. You know, I think it's a game that goes back and forth a little bit. And they were moving, but it wasn't like they were getting huge chunks of yards or huge plays. You know, it was just a matter of sometimes it's just kind of tightening up your technique so you can execute a little bit better.
Chris Polk earned more? Maybe if Bryce's carries on paper, he seems to be more productive.
Yeah, we don't talk about earning anybody's carries. The one thing I know about Chris is in the last couple of weeks specifically, he has really, really practiced very well. You know, and I think, like we said, at every position, it's an open competition, and you keep showing us and that you deserve time on the field, and that's what it's all about. You know, our guys, when you watch us go out there now, we're not going through the motion. We're practicing full speed, and it's game on. And if you keep seeing Chris make plays in practice. He warranted the time that he got yesterday. So
on that last play to Selleck, was that an option for Nick, or was that a called pass? Could he have handed the ball off?
Yeah, it was just a read play. You know, if he had Brandy, would take him. If not, he could hand it off.
Do you believe in character wins, or are they all just the same?
Do I believe in what?
Character wins. You know, some people like to write.
No,
that,
I believe
that
some.
Narrative.
I mean, yeah, I believe that you can write any narrative you want. I mean, I think there are certain.
Personally believe in
character. Well, there's always different types of, I think everyone's different in any way. I mean, there's always lessons you can learn from it. I think, shame on you if you don't look back and analyze what happened and what are the positives and what can you take with it. But I also think you also have to take, what did we do wrong and how can we continue to execute? Because, I think that's what happens sometimes when you have a big win or some people, well, we made a couple mistakes, but don't worry about it. You know, we won a game. That's not the way, that we've never been that way. Winston Churchill said problems in victory are more agreeable than problems in defeat, but no less difficult. And we always adhere to that as coaches because I think the easiest thing to do is we won, let's move on, let's get ready for the Vikings. Well, there's a lot of things that went on yesterday that we need to continue to correct, and that's the first thing we do in a Tuesday session with our guys is let's corrections from Sunday. Whether you won 49 to whatever when we won against the Raiders, there was still things we left on there. You know, there were plays that LeSean made one big run. He could have had a 70-yard run. He cut back to and got tackled by Sue and a defensive lineman. If he had broken to his left, he may have had another one. So, those are things we'll always continue to work on.
In terms of roster construction, scheme construction, how much attention do you pay to what the games might be like late in the season or in the playoffs, in terms of the weather?
I think I don't think it's different, I guess, is my point. I don't think you know, wins early in the season are just as important as wins late in the season. I think that's a, you know, you don't look at a guy and say, hey, he's a good cold weather guy, so let's go get him. Because I think there's not enough data either. You know, I loved what Peyton said after the game. People talked about he can't play in a cold weather environment. Well, he didn't have to because he was in the dome, but I'd take him in a cold weather environment. He's a pretty good football player. So.
No, but some teams are built for domes. Some teams are built for, you know,
I think that's writer's speak, to be honest with you. Okay. I don't think teams are built, and I don't think anybody builds their team that way. Let's build our team for the dome. I mean, what's our offensive philosophy and what do we want to do? What's our defensive philosophy and what do we want to do? I mean, I don't know. I'm asking you, what's a defensive dome player like?
Probably fast. They have to contend with the speed of playing on a turf field.
Yeah, but everybody plays eight games at home and eight games away. So if you only build your team for your home games, then shame on you.
That's
you know?
The majority of your games. That's the impetus.
It's not the majority. I think 8-8, that's 50-50, right?
No, but if sure.
Well, dome teams, I mean, historically don't do well outdoors, especially late in the season.
I'd look at it. We don't get that technical. Can they run and catch and tackle? We're going to recruit them, or we're going to throw after them, whatever we're going to do.
A lot about your sports science conditioning program. This kind of seems like maybe, again, while their line might have been wearing down, your offensive line was kind of moving them back. I mean, do you see any correlation there?
No, I just see, I think our players have taken care of themselves and really understand what we're trying to get accomplished, and I think it shows. But I don't think it's because it's December. I think it showed earlier in the year too. I think, you know, I think when you look at where we are from an injury standpoint, obviously we've been pretty blessed from that standpoint. But I think it's, I mean, I watch our players each week, and I believe we're fresh when we go play games on Sunday. So.
Is there a psychological aspect at all to the sports science emphasis where, you know, you're letting guys know that these things are important and you're doing them so you're going to be fresher?
I don't let them know. You guys write it all. We don't. When we meet, we talk about our opponent. This is what the Vikings do. I mean, I don't stand up there and talk about what, you know, your heart rate is. I mean, we're coaching football, so.
To the character question, what did you learn about your team from yesterday?
I didn't learn anything. I knew exactly what those guys were going to be like. So I think maybe some other people did, but I didn't have any question in my mind that what was going to go on in that football game because I've been around these guys every single day.
Three of your older players are offensive linemen, Todd, Jason, and Evan, obviously, they're all in their 30s. You don't have a lot of guys in that age. Have you kind of kept a special eye on them? And, I mean, they all seem to be holding up really well. And
I mean, we keep an eye on everybody. So it's a detailed, our strength and conditioning staff does a great job. And we don't look at older versus younger. It's we treat every individual as an individual. So, you know, age is just a category. But it's not like, hey, let's pay more attention to him than we pay to somebody who's 25. Because somebody who's 25 could have more problems than them. I think, you know, one of the things about those three guys is they take care of themselves. And they did before I got here, too. You know, so it's not like it was a revolution for those guys. I think Todd's always been a really fit guy. Evan's always been a really fit guy. So,
talk about the grounds crew yesterday. How important was the equipment staff yesterday?
I guess they were. I mean, I didn't see them very much. You know, I think our guys knew going in. I think Evan was the only guy, I think, that kind of changed his cleats. But everybody else knew once you get out there to pregame warm-up what you had to go with. So I think we were equipped. And I think the great thing about yesterday is how much fun our guys had. And you could tell in pregame warm-ups they were excited to play in that.
On the two return touchdowns, were they weather-related or were they systematic?
I think a little bit weather-related. I think we out-kicked our coverage. You know, one of the things we're really good at is covering kicks, but because we got some speed on our kick teams that can get down the field and, you know, Ross had a 20 or 30 yard run and start, you know, and usually we're on top of guys, returners, you know, a lot quicker than that. And I think we just kind of got stuck, you know, the one punt return, I mean, Dottie banged it, you know, so the byproduct is now he's got to run and start, and it's tough to change direction. Colt had a shot at him, but, you know, kind of slipped and fell and got flushed, and obviously we weren't in our lanes the way, so there's some schematic things we need to continue to work on, but a little bit of it was weather related.
How much do things change with your game plan with the uncertainty for next week about Peterson? I mean, do you have to plan that he's going to be there? Do you plan that he's not?
Now, I think the one thing is you look at who their backup is, and Toby Gerhardt in the last couple of games has played extremely well. And I know him full well. You know, he played against us when I was at Oregon, and he had a 39-carry game for, I think, 2,085 yards, it seemed like to me. So, You know, I think they've done a good job, you know, from their personnel standpoint, is they have another running back that is a workhorse type guy so that they don't have to drastically change. You know, do you go from a big back to a little back? And I think some things would change. I think they can run the same things with Toby that they ran with Adrian. I think Toby's one of the really, really good backs in this league. He just isn't on the field that much because, you know, of who Adrian Peterson is. So I don't think it changes that much, to be honest with you.
Chip, since almost from the day you were hired, there seems to have been this narrative about what you want to do on offense and how you want to do, particularly the idea of the read option and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But as it's been going on, you know, you're not doing what everyone says you want to do and you're having success. Has it been kind of underlooked, the idea that you adapt to the players and the ability of the players that you have?
The interesting thing is I didn't write the narrative. So the only thing we want to do is score points, and we're an equal opportunity scorer. So we got to throw it to get it in, we'll throw it to get it in. We got to run it to get it in, we'll run it to get it in. I don't think a touchdown looks different no matter how you get them. You know, whether it's Nick Foles on a half-yard quarterback sneak or it's Nick throwing a bomb to Deshaun. You know, I've never been that way, and thank goodness we didn't follow that narrative, because that's not what we're all about. What do we got to do to win this week? And that's always our focus every single week as an offensive staff, and try to put a plan together that our players can execute, and then they go out and execute it. So.
I know you'll meet with Chris Peduzzi later, but is there any indication if there were
there was
injuries
no
yesterday?
One yesterday. I met briefly after the game, and they just gave me an update of who's going to be a real concern, and there was no one yesterday after the game at all. Now Earl's supposed to practice this week, but they'll go through. I meet with him later on, and I think Earl and Najee will be the only guys that will even be listed on the report. So, and I think Earl's supposed to try to get out there and practice tomorrow. So we'll see where he is.
When the conditions weren't good in the first half,
in the first half,
particularly in the first half, where the passing game was really difficult to navigate. Mm-hmm. Were you flirting with the idea at all putting Mike in a quarterback to kind of go with the ground attack a little bit more?
No, because our ground attack works with Nick in there.
All right, that is Chip Kelly, Eagles head coach. Just a little bit of an update for you from a health standpoint, and it's great news. Eagles emerging from the game healthy with a victory and hopeful to get both Earl Wolfe and Najee Good back on the practice field Tuesday. So that would be fantastic to have a roster intact going into the final games of this regular season. Let's revisit the 34-20 victory again, this time through the voices in the radio booth. Merrill Reese, the Eagles radio network. Ricky Ricardo, the Eagles Spanish radio broadcast. The calls of the game. Eagles Live returns tomorrow at noon. I'll be joined by Adam Kaplan. And we've also got coordinators Bill Davis and Pat Shermer meeting the media starting at 11:25. So we take a look back and a listen at the radio calls from a truly memorable day at Lincoln Financial Field.
He's looking, firing, and it is complete for a first down.
Oh, buscando pase largo, Riley Cooper, abierto Cooper, recibe la bola. Cooper, lo tumban en la nieve.
He looks, he is firing for the end zone. Caught, touchdown, Deshaun Jackson. Up once, and fires, and it is juggled and caught by Cooper. He is up across the 30.
McCoy, Shady McCoy. McCoy llega a la 30. McCoy se suelta. McCoy a la 20. McCoy 5. Touchdown Eagles. Shady McCoy. 40 yardas.
He's in. We're tied.
Bryce Brown.
Foles gives it off to McCoy. He's got running room. He's at the 40. 30. McCoy. He is going all the way. Touchdown Shady McCoy.
Foles bajo centro, cuarto down. Foles en mismo adelante. Foles anota. ¡Gol!